The Treasury Department wants to make sure small players aren't left out of potential contracting opportunities. That's why it put out a guide for small, women-owned, and minority-owned businesses. The guide gives them tips for pursuing Treasury contracts. Jose Arrieta is the director of the Treasury's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. He joins me now to talk about the guide. Mr. Arrieta, great to have you on.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
All right. Tell us about this guide. What caused Treasury to write it now?
Well, you know, first of all, Tom, at Treasury, we have a commitment to small business, right? And in order to drive, and my job is to drive procurement dollars, when applicable, to small companies across the United States. And what when we look out at the small business community, we realize there's really three subsegments of small businesses. There's small businesses that are new to the marketplace. They don't, you know, fully understand how to do business, or there's some parts of their strategy that's missing. There's folks that kind of have a couple small contracts, and then there's small businesses that actually have a number of large contracts and are growing pretty rapidly. What we wanted to do is increase the amount of competition for small businesses across Treasury. And so we put together a guide that outlines basic steps so that they can prepare to do business with Treasury. So this is for that first subsegment, and that maybe that second subsegment of small businesses that don't drive a lot of federal revenue and are looking to position themselves to do business with the federal government. That's why we went out and developed it. We thought this was a good time to create it because more competition equals better programs for us, and that's what we wanted to drive.
Now, of course, the biggest piece of Treasury is IRS, and it has its own kind of, you know, systems for doing what it does. But is this something that you expect those folks to use also?
Yeah, so if you think about the guide, Tom, if you look at it closely, what it does is it helps a small company kind of focus their energy so they can be strategic about how they target work, and it's applicable to any federal agency. And I'll just give you kind of a little insight. So initially, if you're a small company and you're trying to do business in the U.S. federal space, the first thing you should do is figure out what type of work you do. What type of NEGS codes do you perform services under? And then how does that fit within any federal agency that you're doing business with? And what our guide does is it lays out, these are the NEGS codes that Treasury spends the most money under in IRS, in BEP, in different parts of our agency. It identifies different players throughout the department, whether it's IRS or BEP, and how they think. A program manager sets requirements. A contracting officer negotiates the deal. So the whole point of the guide is to give small businesses the ability to look at an agency, identify the work that relates to the work that they can perform, let's say IT services, and actually position themselves to compete for those contract opportunities well before they're released on a FedBizOps or an eBuy. And that's what we're trying to do. So I think that the guide is applicable to any federal agency.
And I noticed that in Chapter 3, when you outline the steps to becoming a Treasury contractor, the last step, number 10, is responding to solicitations, which probably is a good idea because I imagine some companies go right at it without doing the preliminaries, and they probably think the federal government is uncrackable if they do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, across the federal government, it costs 10 to 15% to put together a proposal. So if a contract opportunity is sitting out there at $1 million, 10 to 15% of the total value of the contract opportunity you're spending to prepare a response. So why not work on the front end, identify that opportunity is going to hit the street a year in advance, come up with a strategy to position yourself for that opportunity, identify who the players within the agencies are and what's driving them to actually contract for that service, and position yourself so that you can spend that 10% in a wise way and give yourself the best chance to win. And that's what we try to do with this guide, is to give a contractor some steps that they can follow so they can position themselves for work on the front end. And if you're doing business with Treasury, we're a $5.4 billion procurement portfolio. We think about $2.6 billion eligible for small business at any given time. And last year, we did about $1.4 billion in terms of small business spend. And so the guide gives you that type of detail so you can position yourself for work.
We're speaking with Jose Arrieta. He is the director of the Treasury's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. And in your experience looking at small businesses coming to the agency or the department, what is the most difficult thing for them pursuant to getting a contract in the first place, getting that first deal?
Most small businesses that I've met with, they tend to believe that the best way to find a contract opportunity is to go around and meet as many people as possible and that someone will kind of direct them where an opportunity exists. And what happens is they spend a lot of time and money doing that, and the return on that investment isn't very big. I think the key to actually kind of flipping the switch on that and being successful is you go to an agency like Treasury and you use our forecasting system, and you say, okay, over the next year, we do business under these IT service next codes. Over the next year, there are these 20 opportunities within the Department of Treasury that are going to be out for IT services that we think we compete for. Then you take a further look at them, and you look at the dollar value of each of them, and you determine, you know, maybe $1 million is too big for you to go after as a small business, but anything $500,000 or under is something you can compete for. And as you go through these steps and you start to winnow and target a specific group of contracts, all of a sudden what you're doing, instead of just walking around trying to meet as many people as possible, you're focusing in on 2 to 3 opportunities. You're spending all your time and energy targeting those 2, 3, 4. Maybe it's 10 opportunities, and you have a higher chance of being successful. A good company doing capture does capture, it wins about 1 out of every 8 proposals. I mean, that's not even a good batting average. But if you're just walking around trying to meet people, you're probably winning 1 out of every 15. And if you think about that 10 to 15% total cost to put together a proposal, you can see how that can be very costly and you can go out of business very quickly. So I think that is probably the fundamental key to doing business with the federal government for any size company. It's just small companies have a harder time doing that because they don't have the resources, and because typically the CEO of the company is the individual that's actually performing the work on site. So we're trying to give them a competitive advantage by actually giving them this information on the front end and giving them a methodology to think about it so that they can do that work early on a Saturday morning before the kids wake up, and actually spend their time more wisely targeting specific opportunities.
Because there are a lot of people, consultants, a lot of them are former federal employees themselves, that hang shingles and get lots of companies that they parade around to federal agencies or to the different meetings and so forth where people are. And it sounds like you're saying, nah, that's not such a wise way to spend on a retainer for somebody like that month after month.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm saying is that if you're going to do business with the federal government and you're a small company, you need to be strategic and you need to position yourself for success. And the way that you do that isn't walking around and meeting as many people as possible. The way that you do that is you identify agencies that you think your services can support. You identify opportunities in those agencies that you believe you can actually perform. I mean, if it's a $2 million opportunity and you've never done anything over $200,000, you're probably, you know, expending a lot of resources on something that you can't win. So be realistic about opportunities that you can target. And if you do this work on the front end, we believe that you'll actually lower your costs and you'll actually be chasing opportunities that are more reasonable for you to do for that you can actually perform.
Yeah, so don't go after that whale with a bamboo pole, in other words.
Yeah.
All right, and what about subcontracting? I mean, do you advise people, small businesses, to try that route to kind of hook on to one of the big maybe systems integrators or larger companies that typically use lots of subcontractors, and they want small businesses to meet their own goals?
Yes, I think subcontracting is a very good strategy to enter the marketplace. And what I would say to any small business out there listening to your show is that if you're going to do subcontracting, be sure that you know what your value proposition is as it relates to that large company that you're doing business with. A lot of these large companies, they want to subcontract if they can, and they want to get small businesses involved if they can. But if you have a specific value proposition that you can add to that large company, then you're going to be more valuable to them. And I think, so when you're thinking about subcontracting, look at what your capabilities are, look at what the large company's capability is and how it performs, engage through the OSDBU office to find out more of what that large company is actually doing within whatever agency you're targeting. And then when you go and engage that large company, position yourself around your specific value proposition. Maybe your expertise is in call center support, you know, and that's where you want to subcontract. That's the work you want to do. If you sign these blanket subcontracting agreements with large companies, you know, you're a less attractive partner because there's no clarity around the service that you can actually perform. And so I think it's key to understand, to clearly articulate the service you can perform for that large company. The other benefit benefit of subcontracting is it helps you build out infrastructure. It helps you learn how to manage a larger scale project and get exposure to managing larger scale projects. It gives you the ability to attract financing. You know, if you're subcontracting to a larger business partner, you're guaranteeing a certain amount of revenue, which gives you the ability to attract financing from a bank, so that you can actually build out your back end and go off and compete for more work. So these are all key things that you need to do as you kind of scale your federal business and you go from being small to a larger small player, that or that third category of small business where they've done really well and they're growing to the point where they're actually going to grow out of the small business space. And I think subcontracting is a key to that.
Jose Arrieta is the Director of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization at the Treasury Department.